Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson. Got a lot to talk about today. We're going to change things up a little bit. I know many of you don't want to relive that game. I don't either, but I'm going to kind of share a few thoughts about our performance, but we're not going to break it down play by play. You don't want to hear that, and I don't want to say that. So right out of the gate, let me just go and let you know, we're going to do it a little bit differently today. It was miserable sitting there. I never thought, even 5 minutes before kickoff, that we would lose that game, much less get blown out in a game 41-17. And take nothing away from Toledo. They came in here and whipped us. They did. It's like you look at the Arizona State game, you say, well, you know, one or two plays, you don't have that same conclusion this go-around. Not going to be a pity party. Also not going to be a sunshine pumping session by any stretch of the imagination. You know, the reality of it is that we're not putting a good product on the field. It's year one under Coach Jeff Lebby. I'm going to urge your patience. I pleaded for that in the offseason, but all that I understood, I think it's fair to say we're not where we expected to be, even with modest expectations. All right? Before we get too deep in the reeds, let me tell you guys, we got some brand new cowbells today from the Bellsmith. And Patrick is one of our own, does amazing work. If you're looking for cowbells, go to the Bellsmith. And, you know, this over the course of last year, you know, our passions, mine and the bride's, have been the Dude, the biography of Duty Noble. You can pre-order at dutynoblebook.com, and you should. About 1,000 people so far have already pre-ordered. That's not even counting the bookstore. So we got thousands of books already ordered. Yeah, you need to jump on that too to ensure that you have it for Christmas, because there is a good chance we're going to run out of the first printing between now and Christmas. A lot of bookstores out there already kind of stocking up. But also too, True Rest, you know, that's our secondary business, had our best weekend ever this past weekend. And if you're looking for relief from chronic pain or anxiety, or just kind of need a time, a little moment to yourself, come to True Rest at 662-268-7601. Follow us on social media at True Rest of Starkville. But yeah, Patrick made us some cowbells to kind of commemorate the year. And, you know, want to give a shout out to some people too. It's like, you know, I'm always amazed at the quality of all this. It's just absolutely nuts, man. It's absolutely crazy that, you know, the way this thing works. You know, used to you just went and bought like a maroon or a white cowbell and you slapped some stickers on it. It has gotten incredibly, incredibly nice. Now, like if you, like you can do a cowbell like as a wedding gift. Like put the engagement photo, get it painted on there. It's nuts. Gail Belk did the painting on the Dude cowbell. And then Patrick, of course, took care of the painting for the True Rest. And so... great Bulldogs, man, doing a great job. And listen, this is an unpaid solicitation here. I'm just kind of throwing this out there because I know many of you have already thinking about Christmas. What better way to kind of make somebody's Christmas a little more special than by getting them a custom cowbell from the Bellsmith? You can find him on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that good stuff. Does a lot of deals with our student athletes where, you know, you can buy a bell for a student athlete, and some of that money, of course, goes to their NIL funding, right? Cool stuff. So be sure and check that out. Again, the Bellsmith, the best, you know, proprietor when it comes to Mississippi State cowbells. It's so interesting, too. I sent a picture of the True Rest cowbell to the company president, and she said, hey, I want one. So I had to send her the link to the Bellsmith. Again, Patrick, a great Bulldog. They live over in West Point, right here in the Golden Triangle. They can take care of you. So many cool things, too, whether it be, you know, graduation, you know, maybe just a special gift. You know what? I have got a Bellsmith bell with every one of my book covers of the sports books. But I don't think Patrick did Flim Flam. I don't think that's right. But I got Flim Flam, and then he did Villains and Alpha Dogs and Dog Pile, and then now the Dude. And Dog Pile and the Dude have like a baseball helmet handle, or baseball bat handle, excuse me. There is no handle on a helmet. But you know what I'm saying. It's just amazing to me the quality of work that you get. So be sure and check out the Bellsmith when you get ready to order cowbells. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Record Company, longtime sponsors of the show. I love them. They love me. I love them long before we had an advertising relationship because I thought it was the best place to eat in Stark Vegas for lunch. Because I know when I go in there, I'm going to find something that's going to scratch that itch. Sometimes you just want to eat, right? I got to get something to eat. But when you want a dining experience, even for lunch, Bulldog Burger Company is going to be able to take care of that for you. There are a lot of places you can eat, not a lot of places you can dine. And that's what the Eat With Us group brings us. And as always, let me recommend too, you got nieces and nephews, grandchildren that are students at Mississippi State. Go to eatwithus.com and you can order some gift cards. Yeah, to give them a night out on you. Whether it be Bulldog Burger Company, The Grill, Sweet Peppers, Harvey's, of course. That's the way to go. You can order those gift cards right there with Eat With Us, and then you can mail them to them, and you'll be the cool aunt or uncle or grandparent by doing so. It's a great idea. Yes, it is, Steve. It is a great idea. So go ahead and get it done. But for those of you that are just kind of looking for a dining experience, go put your feet under their table. Three great locations to serve you: University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Get the spring rolls as your appetizer. They'll make you and everybody around you better looking. I have seen photographic proof of this. In addition to that, get that chocolate shake to go. But the main reason you go for the burgers, man. And, sometimes you say, hey, Steve, I don't want to eat that heavy. The kids do. The kids always want burgers and fries. Or they want the sweet heat chicken sandwich. Or they want those sloppy Joe sliders. There's so many great options to choose from. And while they're doing that, maybe you get the BLT salad. I like it grilled. You may like it fried. I'm from South Mississippi. I know that's sacrilege to get grilled chicken. But I love it. I do. It's a little healthier too. Trying to keep that girlish figure, these days too. And so you need to go by and enjoy that yourself. Next time you're in town or you're on your way to Stark Vegas, be sure and stop at one of those locations to get some Bulldog Burger Company. The place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. Okay. It was terrible, and there's no sugarcoating that, and there's no need to try, because none of you would believe it, right? The reality of it is that you, like me, are among the dedicated lot when it comes to Mississippi State fandom, right? You wouldn't be listening to a Mississippi State podcast if you didn't love Mississippi State, unless you just hate us and you just want to hear us grovel. Well, I'm not going to sit here and do that, but I do want to go over some team numbers, and then I'm going to go through some personnel groups and kind of share with you what I'm seeing, what I'm feeling. So Toledo had 26 first downs in the game. We had 21. Not a huge disparity there, but that simply can't happen. And of course, and let's be fair to them too, they were accumulating yards with a much greater proficiency than we were. They ran for 9 first downs, threw for 14, and some of those are big third downs. There were some big third downs in this game. We'd get them behind the chains, and they would still convert. We'd drop in his own coverage. They'd find a hole in his own. We had 14 passing first downs, so you'd expect that when you're the trailing team. They had 3 by penalty, too, so some self-inflicted wounds there for your Bulldogs. We only netted 1 first down by penalty. They ran for 169 yards. A far cry from what Arizona State did, but when they got ready to shorten the game, I won't say they ran at will. We did a better job against it, and of course they don't have the running back that Arizona State does, but it just seemed like even though the numbers weren't as gaudy, it seemed like in every important situation, like on third and short, they found a way to get it done. Mississippi State ran for just 66 yards in the game. That's 3 consecutive games. We have not been able to get the running game going, and it really felt like that we had more of a commitment to the running game. You came out, kind of had Kevin Coleman take a direct snap. We're trying to do some things to kind of jumpstart the running game. Didn't get it going. I mean, and that's 27 attempts, averaging 2.4 yards a carry. And I continue to see Mississippi State running backs running to the back of offensive linemen. Passing, we threw for 319 yards, 28 of 40, and the first interception of the year for Blake Shapen. They threw for just 285, but 23 of 28. That's kind of reminiscent of last year, right? I mean, how many times did we get in a third and medium or third and long situation and we simply couldn't force an incompletion? Their average attempt, though, 10.2. Average completion, 12.4. They exceeded us in both of those. And again, we're supposed to be the high-powered vertical offense that's going to make you defend the deep third. Our average yardage of attempt is 8 yards. Average completion, 11.4. You know, and what's interesting, too, they had a couple of drops. You know, only 5 incompletions in the game, and a couple of those were drops. So it's not like us. We're just out there making a play. They outgained us 454 to 385. It's terrible. They had 8 penalties for 50 yards. We had 10 for 104. And it seemed like so many of those were crucial. We had that one roughing the passer. We had a targeting penalty. And that targeting penalty was a frustration penalty. It was. They punted 2 times for 76 yards. Probably the hero of our game was Nick Barmira. 4 punts for an average of 49.5 yards a punt. We were hoping, you know, that they would kick off to us and we'd have the opportunity to return some kicks. Well, they kicked off 8 times, only 3 touchbacks, so we did get that opportunity. We just didn't make much of it. Had a couple of nice returns from Booth up around the 30-yard line, but, we never really broke one. We had 4 returns for 96 yards, average 24 yards per. We had 1 return right at 15 yards. But, control time possession again. You know, it's one of those things, too, if you can go fast and not really worry about TOP, and everybody's like, well, that's the most overrated statistic in football. It is when you win, but when you're losing and you need the football and somebody's playing keep away from you, you want to be able to, you know, to get some stops and get the football back, and that's really been an issue for us. And so that's become a very popular narrative about TOP doesn't matter. Well, it matters a lot when you're the team without the football. Third down conversions, they were 7 of 13. We were 6 of 13. They went for it twice on fourth down, made it both times, both of those in fourth and short situations. Red zone chances, they were 6 of 7. We were 3 of 4. They had 5 sacks to 0 for us. Pretty rough. Individual numbers. I mentioned in an article a few days ago that Isaac Smith's putting together an All-American-type season. Currently leads the nation in tackles. Happy for him, but that's not a great thing for Mississippi State. I mean, at least somebody's making the tackles, but I'd like to see more guys in the front 7 step up and kind of carry some of the workload. I think Isaac Smith is happy to make half the tackles that he does to get the W. Blake Shapen, 28 of 39 for 319 and 2 touchdowns, and again, sacked 5 times. Tough. Now, Johnny Daniels, 10 carries for 59 yards, no negative plays. That's the best ground game we've had this year from Bulldog running back. And I asked Jeff Levy about that in postgame. Do you think maybe you found the running back? And he goes, well, I got to get a little more trust with Johnny throughout the week, which tells me perhaps that he's not a great practice player, but it appears that he is a gamer. Now look at Kevon Lee. You know, Kevon Lee was recruited basically to kind of be, you know, the Robin to Woody Marks Batman, right? You know, Dylan Johnson was leaving, so we had to get another running back. We thought that Kevon could be a depth piece for us, and he and Jeffrey Pittman could work together. Pittman, of course, not with the program. Kevon Lee, 3 carries, 13 yards. Davin Booth, we tried to make him kind of the feature back in this game, 6 for 12, 2 yards a carry. Blake Shapen, 8 attempts. Gained 8 yards, but also sacked a handful of times, too, as you guys know, for a net of negative 18. So without Johnny Daniels, we run for 7 yards. Tough. Kevin Coleman, big game for him, too. 7 receptions, 77 and a touchdown. He is easily, right now, our most productive receiver. Mario Craver tends to find the end zone with regularity. 2 catches to 1 touchdown. Nice little slant route there for him. Seydou Traore has been a factor, and we knew that he would be. You know, 5 catches for 40 yards. And we talked about Johnny Daniels running for nearly 60 yards. He had 38 also. So all-purpose yards outside of Blake Shapen, Johnny Daniels, your most productive Bulldog player. Need to see more of him. I thought he played really hard, and we'll get to that just a little bit here. But Kelly Akari, 4 of 32. Justin Bell, 2 of 30. So 7 catches for the Bulldog tight end. And we did find Creed Whittemore for a long of 26, one of the most productive plays of the game. Jordan Mosley, 2 of 21. Of course, Jordan also dropped a sure touchdown pass. And the game was basically decided, but we got to get that thing in. Talking about defensive numbers, too, we mentioned Isaac Smith, 15 tackles. Pretty crazy. Stone Blanton with 10, Brian Lanier with 9, John Lewis with 6. Of course, John Lewis went to SEC Media Day just because we didn't have a lot of returning starters. Trevion Williams with 6 tackles. Like to see some more production from him, but it's good to see him out there playing. Credited with half a TFL. J.P. Purvis with 6, Chris Keys with 6. I mean, you go all the way down the list here, but got a handful of TFLs, but no sacks. So let's kind of talk about, what we're seeing. And we'll start with the offensive line. Now, we hit the portal, and we had brought in 4 potential starters. This group has not meshed well together. Not yet. Even in the Eastern Kentucky game, we sat here on the show and said, we need to find a way to get the running game going, and some of that's on the offensive line. I would suggest to you a lot of it is on the running backs. Some people would disagree and say, hey, the holes aren't there. I think if you go back and you're honest with yourself and you watch that, we're making some holes. And there are times that we're missing the holes. There are other times the holes closing quickly. And maybe perhaps the hole is not as designed, but there has been some running room. And I can't count how many times I've seen a running back in a Mississippi State uniform this year try to kick it to the outside and not have the foot speed to get the corner. That's concerning. And again, we knew that the running back room was going to be a little bit challenged talent-wise. I know some other people have talked about all this depth we've had, but we just, you got some guys that are older, but you don't have a lot of guys with a ton of production. McKaylin Pounders, I love that kid to death. I just don't know that he's a left tackle. I think he can help us somewhere else. We pulled him, put Luke Work in, and Luke, of course, a true freshman, a guy that grew up Bulldog. And Jeff Lebby spoke about him a lot today and talked about, his want to. And this is a guy that wants to be good. He's going to play some this weekend. Don't know how much he plays. Don't really know where he plays. But Luke comes from a great Mississippi State family. And I'm not sitting here and saying that's always the best prerequisite when it comes to recruiting. We got to go out there and recruit the best 25-plus that we can get each and every year. But you need some Bulldogs in the building. You need some people that understand what it means to wear that uniform. And Luke certainly does that. Nobody is going to enjoy wearing that jersey more than Luke Work is. I can assure you of that. There will be many others that enjoy it as much, but it's not going to mean any more to anybody more than Luke Work. And I expect him to be a great player for us for a long time. Really do. And to be honest with you, the fact that he has kind of been thrown in there in game 3 says a lot about him. A lot about him. And I remember somebody just last year saying, Steve, I saw them play and they weren't great. And, had a great regular season last year and they got beat up in the playoffs late. But that wasn't a Luke Work situation, Again, I'm a firm believer is you got to have some guys in there that love Mississippi State, and not just because Mississippi State signs a nice NIL check. Luke Work would have come to Mississippi State for free. Now I'm not saying he's going to turn down scholarship offers to walk on at State. He may have. Maybe it's a PWO, but you can't go out there and insult that family by saying, hey, use their allegiance against them. But it has been Luke Work's dream his entire life to play at Mississippi State. So you didn't have to go out there and say, hey, Luke, let's work together a big NIL deal here to get you here. Luke just said, hey, I'm coming. And now here he is. And I think it's guys like him you build a program around. You ever Googled yourself? You may be alarmed to know exactly how much of your private information and data is out there for anybody to access. Whether it be your phone number, your home address, or details about your family. It could be your kids' names, their ages. Whether you agree to this disclosure or not. And that's because data brokers are collecting and selling your information to marketers, scammers, and basically anyone willing to pay. It's the reason robocallers know your name and while ads seem to follow you on every digital platform out there. Well, Aura fights back for you. They remove your personal data from broker sites and keep it off. Aura also alerts you fast if your information shows up in a data breach or on the dark web. But Aura is more than just data broker removal. It's a full digital security suite that protects every part of your life online. Aura gives you a VPN to stay private, antivirus to block threats, a password manager to keep all your logins safe, and they even give you spam call protection to cut off those stupid scammers. Aura also scans the dark web regularly for your most sensitive information, like your social security number, bank logins, passwords, and they will notify you instantly if you are somehow exposed. If your identity is ever stolen, you're backed up to $5 million in insurance and 24/7 U.S.-based fraud support to help you recover everything quickly. Other services charge about the same, but they only cover one or two areas. With Aura, you get it all. Data broker removal, credit and identity monitoring, device protection, and fraud support, all with one simple app. Aura removes what is already exposed, protects what isn't, and puts you back in control. Right now, you can try Aura free for 14 days when you visit aura.com/remove. That gives them plenty of time to go ahead and start protecting your data. They can remove your personal information from data broker sites. Sign up today at aura.com/remove and get the peace of mind that your privacy, identity, and finances are all safeguarded. That's Aura, aura.com/remove. Certain terms and conditions apply. Be sure and check it out today at aura.com.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side, your Sleep Number setting. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store and online. And now, the more you buy, the more you save on beds, bases, and more. Limited time. For J.D. Power 2025 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Check it out at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com today.
Now, our wide receiver group, I think we would say right now, they are living up to expectations. I mean, Akari's been a little bit banged up. You'd like to see a little more production from him, but that all kind of goes hand in hand with the offensive line. We're not really getting the protection. To give up 5 sacks to a MAC team, and listen, to be fair, Toledo has generated some rush all year, and granted, we thought, hey, we're a lot better team than the teams that they played, and maybe we're not. Maybe we're not. But our receiving production has been somewhat limited by our inability at times to protect the passer. But those guys are dudes. Those are athletes. Got to find a way to keep Blake Shapen upright, give him the opportunity to get down the field. And, of course, yeah, that one interception, just trying to make too much happen late in the ballgame, right? I mean, you know, it wasn't like he's just being loose and fast with the football and being careless. He's just trying to make a play. Blake, I think, has got to do a little bit better job of getting rid of the football. There are sometimes, too, that, we had the fumble situation out there at Arizona State. Again, sometimes you try to do too much. Discretion's a better part of valor. But as far as the arm talent and his ability to kind of connect with people, I mean, some of these balls that he's thrown across the middle are just been absolute lasers. I think we've got a lot to work with. A lot to work with Blake Shapen. But you got to keep him upright. Running back room, it's all been very well documented. It's not a talented group, and I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings, but it is what it is. There is just not a bell cow within this group. When we did our positional breakdown, I discussed that. Yeah, the most explosive running back that we have is Xavier Gate and the freshman, and I think you've got to find a way to kind of get him in the mix a little bit in some packages. It may only be a couple things, but he's a real home run threat. Outside of him, no, we don't. We don't have a home run threat. And I don't know that we've got a lot of guys that have a ton of vision. There are times that I see Kevon Lee and Davin Booth both kind of running with their head down. And I don't mean on the interior. And we get outside sometimes, and it's like we can't set up our own block. We're getting the block. And there were a couple times this past Saturday, we would run into the blocker. And it wasn't because of the fact that you had a defender that was kind of controlling the engagement. We just didn't have the vision, the field vision, to realize, hey, I can cut in here, I can hit this gap here, and use this block to move the chains. I mean, we got that first down, man. It took us forever to get that first down, and everybody began to cheer and said, okay, here we go. But, man, we're so far behind at that point, right? And that kind of negates the running game, too. And I'll tell you one of the things, too. And listen, I don't know all the X's and O's of football. I'm not going to sit here and pretend. But one of the things that kind of perturbs me a little bit is when we are, we're down 2 or 3 touchdowns, and why are we running a play action pass? Like, nobody's going to bite on a play action. All it does is just kind of slow things down. And when you've got a leaky offensive line, that half second could be the difference in a completion and a sack. That's just an observation that I make. I'm not some, Monday morning quarterbacking this thing, but the reality of it is in a passing situation, just spread them out and go, right? Just spread them out and go. Because on second and 18, nobody thinks that you're just going to hand it off and get any appreciable gain to change much of anything. That's just my opinion. Flip it over to defense here. Our defensive front, we knew that we did not have a ton of depth, especially on the edges. We broke that down in our positional preview. Thought we had enough big bodies on the interior to kind of keep this thing honest. We've been a little bit banged up. Calvin Dinkins still not back. You hate it for the young man, but you hate it for Mississippi State too. But one of the things too, when you begin to kind of look along our personnel, we got a lot of short defensive linemen. We don't have those big, robust, 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", type guys. We don't have a true edge rusher. DeMonte Russell, of course, four-star out of high school. He's had a lot of problems medical-wise, coming in. And, he's given us all that he has, but, he's more of a conventional defensive end. He's not that game wrecker. He's not a guy you can line up there in the seven technique and let him chase a quarterback. And, again, I think he's playing hard. But we're not generating pass rush. Now, some of that, too, has got to do with the play calling from the other team. They're getting the ball out quick. Even Toledo worked the perimeter a lot. They worked the perimeter and the inside slant and things like that. So there are a lot of three-step type, drop type things. A lot of times, too, we'd line up in the shotgun and just kind of pitch and catch. And so when, you got to cover a little bit better to give the pass rush the time to get there. But we are not generating pass rush the way that we should. And I think it's pretty much an indictment on the entire front seven. We talked about we have some athleticism at linebacker. It's not really showing right now. It's not. I'm not going to single guys out. But, we've got some guys out there that have some ability. They got to get off blocks. When you've got guys up front that can't occupy double teams and kind of, free up guys to hit gaps and fit gaps and pursue into the backfield, it's so difficult for a linebacker to have to take on an offensive lineman. It just is. It's not magic, it's math. When you've got a guy that's got that much more, body mass, and you've got to go encounter that guy at or near the line of scrimmage, about the best you can do is kind of hold your own. So you got to have some guys up front to kind of occupy some blockers to free you up to go in there and make that play. And so all that kind of works together. But, we're getting beat at times out there on the edge. And that's the thing, too. When I go back to all this stuff, too, it's like, the thing that frustrated me the most is like we had never seen an RPO before. They had the big physical quarterback who was a plus runner. He's not a guy that's going to win a foot race, but he's not a Nick Fitzgerald type, but he is a guy that kind of play. I'm not going to compare him to Tim Tebow, but he's kind of got that same type of build, right? A guy, a big physical runner, go out there and absorb first contact and fall forward for a couple yards. But I think a secondary at times has played really well. Isaac Smith is probably, at this point, the best player on his team, he or Kevin Coleman. Isaac Smith, and the numbers show that too, but he's a guy flying around getting to the football. A true sophomore. I told you guys when we first committed him, this guy's a future NFL guy. This is not to pat myself on the back. We just don't have enough of them. I'm going to share some numbers with you too, and this may shock you. But this is the reality of the situation, okay? Hope we're all together here. All right, so we go back to the 2021 recruiting class. 18 players from 2021 are gone. That's the majority, just so you know. And I'm talking high school guys. The 2022 class, 16 are gone. The 2023 class, 18 are gone. So you can kind of begin to do the math there. What is that, 52 players? In 3 years that are gone. A lot of a transfer portal. Some guys have been dismissed. 21 players are still on the team since that 2021 class. A couple of those guys can't stay healthy. And so and here's what happens. You know, what generally, everybody's going to blame the portal, right? And there's part of that. I mean, the portal giveth and the portal taketh. But the flip side of that too is, and I ran the numbers last year, and it got to be so voluminous I couldn't keep up with it. You know, the two teams that had the most attrition when it came to the portal heading into the spring were Mississippi State and Auburn. And you know what those two have in common is during the portal era, they'd made multiple coaching changes. And now we've made another one since I've run those numbers. I would submit to you right now, we probably have the highest level of attrition in the Southeastern Conference in the portal era. And those chickens have come home to roost. That's not an excuse, it's just a statement of fact. We hit the portal hard last year. We're going to have to hit it hard again this year. And I'm hearing, of course, that there's administration is doing a good job trying to help us get in a position. I would just encourage you, too, that this, you know, this is a work in progress. And it appears that there's more work to be done than most of us realized. And I'll be honest with you, looking back, and there's always, you know, the gift of hindsight. Looking back, I think maybe the smart thing for Jeff Lebby to do, and I'm not being critical of Jeff, please don't misunderstand me. And I know it's like when you're in the middle of all of this, you know, you're just trying to get it right. You're just trying to get your guys up, get your system implemented, and kind of get everybody rolling here. So you close practice. Honestly, I think I would have maybe opened up those scrimmages. And whatever it is, it is. You know, it's like I read these posts at times on social media, and sometimes they're critical of us and our peers and saying, hey, these guys, you know, painted a big rosy outlook. I don't know anybody that did that. I don't know anybody. I think you go back and look at Brian Haydad's media poll, and Brian is my friend. Brian runs that media poll every year. I think the best record was 6-6. I think everybody but two people had a 6-6 or 5-7. And so if we're picking a team to be 500, I don't know how we're overselling them, right? But honestly, I think if we had seen practice and we had seen some of this in practice and seen some of the struggles, I think we maybe even told you guys, hey, this is probably going to be a difficult year. You know, when we went to practice, you know, we didn't get to see any team stuff. I know some people will tell you they did. They did not. Basically, we got to see some stretching and some positional drills, and at time we'd see a little, you know, some little one-on-one stuff. We didn't see any team stuff. And I think had we seen some team stuff, you know, we would have seen some of these issues too. And I don't think Mississippi State overhyped this team. And to be honest with you, I mean, our football engagement group didn't do very much at all during pre-camp. You know, it's not like they're out there every day, you know, showtime, 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 showtime. I mean, I think the first week of practice, we saw two tweets from the Hell State football account. Maybe that's just me. And so I know how it is as a fan. You're just like, you want to put your best foot forward. You want to believe, hey, this year's going to be better. We knew it was going to be a work in progress. But apparently it was going to be more work than we anticipated. But again, the gift of hindsight, you say, you know what, hey, let's close practice, but let's let the media come to scrimmages. Because if I had been able to see those scrimmages, and our peers have been able to see those scrimmages, and we said, hey, listen, hey, you know, this offensive line's got this to worry with, and it's got this to worry with, and, you know, and Jeff Lebby had said, you know, multiple times in camp that he felt like that group had made the most progress offensively. And I don't think Jeff's coach speaky at all. I think that's what he believed. But I think that's also the byproduct of the fact that, you know, our defensive line just hadn't shown a lot of fight. And so I don't think Jeff Lebby is out there misleading anybody. I just think the difference is that now that our offensive line is having to compete against people that are, you know, trying to hurt them, you know, we're having to kind of make some adjustments. You know, the offensive line may have been the more dominant unit in the trenches, in the practice sessions that he saw, just because of the fact that we really lacked the ability to generate a pass rush. And so it kind of gives you a false sense of confidence. But guys, this is year one, okay? And I've read some comments out there too. And, you know, listen, I hate to ever be critical of people, especially our fans. So I'm not going to be. But some of this rhetoric gets out of control. And listen, I get it. When you're in the moment, you know, it's like you just want the pain to stop, right? I mean, you love Mississippi State so much. And we're sitting there. I mean, Mike Nemeth turned to me in that third quarter, and he goes, man, this is tough to watch. And it was. Very difficult to watch. And many of you left at halftime. Many of you that were at home watched on TV, change the channel. But, and it hurts because you care. And you just want the pain to stop, right? Like, you know, I've read posts today, you know. We need to fire Lebby, fire Selman, fire Keenum, you know. None of those are the right thing to do. None of those things are going to happen. I would venture to say Dr. Mark Keenum is the best university president we've ever had. And a lot of people only look at Mississippi State through the eyes of fandom, right? It's like, hey, when we're not winning, everything sucks. Everything. Everything sucks when you're losing. At halftime, I call the wife, and we're sitting there kind of, you know, lamenting the pending loss. I goes, you know, I'm not sure I kind of like this DJ playing at every stoppage of play. She goes, well, why do you say that? I said, because it kind of negates the power of the cowbells. Like, I can't even hear the cowbells. Like on third down, everything, you know, traditionally those cowbells kind of take over, right? It kind of negates the home field advantage. She goes, babe, you're just saying that because we're losing. I still mean it. But it's just kind of an example. When we're losing, everything sucks. Everything. The hot dogs aren't good enough. There's too much ice in the drinks. You know what I'm saying? It's just when we're losing, because we all care so much, even though we maybe articulate that disappointment in different ways. Some people are like, you know what, man, it sucks, but I'm going to keep coming. I'm going to keep supporting the team. I love Mississippi State. Other people are like, you know what, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to get out there and rant and rave on social media. Both of those people love Mississippi State the same amount. They're just not quite sure how to handle their disappointment, right? And everybody handles it in a different way. You know, in some respects, it's like death. Steve, are you really equating death to losing a football game? Yes, I am. The emotions of it are the same. Everybody handles things a little bit differently. Everybody handles disappointment a little bit differently. So I think the most important thing is let's not turn on each other, right? I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I'm going to be the positive police, because what happened last Saturday night was embarrassing. Am I embarrassed to be a Mississippi State Bulldog? Never. Never. But to see our beloved Bulldogs kind of get beat up by a MAC team in our own backyard, yeah, that sucks, man. It absolutely sucks. And I can promise you right now, it's burning Jeff Lebby up. You know, Jeff Lebby took this job, and maybe there was some naivety involved, right? Maybe he thought, hey, you know what? My system has always worked. I'll be able to go get a quarterback out of the portal and go better make some things happen right away. And, you know, and let's be fair about that, too. By the time he got the job, and it wasn't late, but a lot of these deals in the portal were already made, right? And so we went out, did the best we could with the resources we had available, and we put a team together. And a lot of times, too, you know, it's like the exuberance of, hey, this is a new experience, it's a new school, you know, I've got a lot of confidence in myself, and then you get punched in the mouth. But I don't see Jeff Lebby wavering. I don't think you'll see Jeff Lebby lose confidence. He may have some frustration. I think he's handled himself well in these post-game and Monday pressers. I really do. I'm impressed with Jeff Lebby. I know that we're 1-2. I know that the product we put on the field the last 2 weeks is unacceptable. But also understand that it's game 3 in year 1 with a roster that has had a tremendous amount of attrition, the most attrition in the Southeastern Conference during the NCAA portal era. And the truth of the matter is, Jeff Lebby is kind of picking up a tab on what's happened the last 2 years. I mean, you remember how we all felt at the end of 2022? Do you remember that? And I remember being the lone voice in the wilderness in 2022. And Bo Bounds is my friend. I'm on Bo's show regularly. And Bo was like, Ole Miss is going to run off and leave us this year. And I said, you know, what are you going to do at the end of the year when we have the same record and we have the egg? Never going to happen. Well, it did happen. So in 2022, we win the egg. Sadly, tragically, we lose Coach Leach. Puts us in a tailspin. We've managed to win the bowl game and finish in the top 20. Obviously, if Coach Leach had lived, maybe a different conversation today. But he didn't. And so you roll with the punches, right? And then our administration did the only thing they could do under the circumstances. They take the interim tag off Zach Arnett. They fight a write a very Mississippi State friendly contract that enabled us to get out of the deal if we needed to. We turns out we did. You know, of course, you know, Arnett comes in and you know they run off all the air raid guys, and you know there was some issues with that too. You know. And the truth of the matter is, if we had gone out, maybe gotten the head coach from Samford to come be our OC, gone out and got an air raid guy to be our OC, probably a different year last year. But now we bring in another coach, third head coach in 3 years. You know, at some point, you got to pay the rent. And unfortunately, the guy writing that check is Jeff Lebby. I'll tell you this, guys, too. Zach Selman has been great with me. I don't know what your interactions with Zach have been. I don't know. But I wrote about this on Gene's page earlier over on the message board. People were kind of being critical of Zach. I can tell you from my coverage of the coaching search that Zach did not appear to go into this with any preconceived notions. I don't think that he knew from day one who he wanted to hire. I think, yeah, Jeff Lebby, obviously, it's like, hey, if we go the coordinator route, Jeff is the best option. I agree with that, even in hindsight, absolutely. But initially, we wanted to go out and get a head coach. We wanted to get a guy that had some head coaching experience. You know, we didn't want to, you know, replicate what we did under Arnett. You know, everybody learns on the job, but you wanted somebody that kind of knew how to run the show. And that's kind of how we started, with that in mind. And then here's where we are. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, it wasn't a real search. It absolutely was. Absolutely was. I had multiple interactions with agents throughout that process. For we got a lot of our information. You know, this guy's not interested. This guy is interested. You know, of course, you know, other people, you know, 3 and 4 degrees removed from the situation will tell you otherwise. I remember Lance Leopold. People were like, oh, yeah, he's a hot candidate. Never even talked to us. Never did. You know, and so, and I'm not going to sit here and rehash the whole search thing again, but my belief in Jeff Lebby is unwavering at this point. I think you got to be patient. If I had recorded this show last night, I may have felt differently, right? Because the sting of all that kind of stays with you for a while, again, because we love it so much. You put so much emotional energy into this. You look forward to football all year long. You think, hey, I want to go out there and win some games and we get to a bowl game, try to get the egg back, you know. There's so much of that. We put so much, and I don't just mean the financial part, because you can make some more money, but sometimes losing the return on your emotional investment is more traumatic than losing the money, right? You got to do something to entertain yourself anyway. But when you love Mississippi State and then you see us get beat the way we did, it's not a good feeling getting up on Sunday going to church, or on Monday getting up and go hang around the water cooler when all your friends' team won. You know, it's like, you know, and then you just try to find some coping mechanisms. Oh, yeah, it's just part of the deal, man. You know, the reality of it is that, you know, we're just trying to navigate through it. And people say, you know what, Steve, hey, this could be a 2 in 10 year. It absolutely could. I'm not going to sit here and tell you otherwise. I can guarantee you Florida's licking their chops. Yeah, Billy Napier and those guys trying to find some way to get the pain to stop on their side, right? You almost feel like you got to fire him now. And if you don't, you know, what if they come in here and win? Then you got to stick with him for a week or two? You know, I don't know. You know, I just don't think they fire him this early in the year. But yeah, this is a season that is going to really test the resolve of the Mississippi State fan. It really is. It really is. And hopefully we'll have some things to feel good about. Hopefully we're playing our best football towards the end of the year. We can say, hey, you know, listen, we started trending well. It took us a few weeks to get our feet under us. But the last thing we need to do is turn on each other. We're not going to go Bulldogs the stadium. You know, we're not going to redirect all the NIL funds to other sports. You know, we're going to lock arms and we're going to make it through this thing together. You know, good, bad, or indifferent. You know, but again, it obviously appears at this point it's going to be a much more challenging situation than we thought even in the beginning of the year. All right, time for today's top 10 list. As always, brought to you by closewithblair.com. That's C-L-O-S-E with Blair, B-L-A-I-R.com. Blair Chandler is my friend, your friend. Our collective friend in the mortgage industry. Let me give you his number right now. You're going to need it. 601-500-2344. Again, 601-500-2344. If you're driving and maybe you can't remember that, just DM me. I'll get it to you. Blair's happy to work with you. Listen, here's the thing. You can entrust your mortgage in the hands of nearly anybody, and that sometimes can be a dangerous thing, right? One of the most important decisions you make is about home ownership. Have somebody that can help you get you in the best deal possible. That's Blair Chandler at Close with Blair. 23 years of experience in the industry. Top 1% close ratio in the country back-to-back-to-back years. Recently made the move to One Priority, One Mortgage. The same level of service goes with them. Whether you're looking for a life reset, looking to buy a home for the first time, it can be a very intimidating process. Get somebody that is willing to go fight for you in underwriting. You don't always know what that means. It's like, hey, we put our application in. What do we know? Well, they're asking all these questions. You know, Blair can help you kind of navigate through that with not a lot of anxiety. Whether you're looking for your first home or a game day condo, which could be more affordable than you think, you've always dreamed of that. And maybe reach out to Blair and say, hey, how can we structure this to make it work, right? And if you're looking to buy a home for the first time, get that pre-qualification letter. I cannot begin to urge you how important that is. Get pre-qualified. That way your real estate agent kind of knows really what's in within your means. And you do too. You don't want to buy more house than you can pay for. There's no point in having a great house and every time you walk through the doors, you get all stressed out thinking, man, I got to make a bonus every month to pay for this place, right? Live life a little more comfortably. Let Blair help you with that. Close to Blair.com. Okay. I called an audible today. And this may be more information about me than you want. Right? So you may not know this. You look at me these days and say, man, you know, Steve is a rocker at heart. And I am. You see the tattoos and the dreads down to my waist and always wearing Metallica shirts and things like that. And my boots or my Chuck Taylors. Steve's just a rocker. Steve's not just a rocker, right? And so many of you know this, some of you don't. You know, back in the early 90s, the girls that I wanted to date were listening to dance music. And so I adjusted, right? I acclimated to that, right? And lo and behold, eventually I got discovered and had the opportunity to be with this great dance group from Cervello, from Baton Rouge called Cervello at C-apostrophe-V-E-L-L-O. We had a big single called This Jam Is Cold. And 1991 was a wild year for me. It was great being up on that stage, and it put me in drug rehab. But to be honest with you, all it did was kind of expedite the process. I was already well on my way before any of this stuff happened. But I was in nightclubs, four and five nights a week sometimes, and having a good time, you know. And there were times that to pay the rent, I would like go to Odyssey, or I'd go down to Odyssey in Slidell. And then I would go down to City Lights or Neo Beach down in New Orleans, or I'd go to the Kingfish or Purple Parrot and Eunice and Lafayette, respectively. And I'd go win those dance competitions and pay my rent with that. True story. And so, yeah, your boy can still go, just so you know. I only come out of retirement on special occasions. I've joked with people before. If they ever let me MC Bulldog Bash, I'm going to come out of retirement right there on that stage for all those people. I'm going to do it. I'll just dance in front of everybody. I'll do it. I can still do it. I'm not as light on my feet as I used to be. But nevertheless, dance music was a huge part of my life. It still is. And some days I kind of get in that mood, right? I want to put on some, we used to call it trip hop, right? Back in the old X days, Kuiper bands like that were very big to me. We played so many dates with those guys. And, of course, Kuiper's background band was a band called Pastel out of Lafayette, Louisiana. My friend Jason Hayes actually went out to California. And he was doing soundtracks for video games. I suspect he still is. But probably one of the most talented guys I have ever known. But nevertheless, it was a lot of fun. I got to meet a lot of people. Made a lot of mistakes, but had a lot of fun. You got to put those tapes the whole way through. I wrote about some of this in When the Bottom Falls. So if you read When the Bottom Falls, you read some of that. But there's some stories out there that I didn't put in the book because I don't want my children to read those, right? I mean, it's not a vanity project. It's about helping other people. But anyway, I was kind of in the dance mood today. I didn't have time to dance around the house. But I was in the dance mood today. And so I... I put on some of my favorite stuff. And one of my favorite dance bands, you guys know them, but you probably don't know much of the catalog. It's a band from England. Had the outrageously eccentric Pete Burns as a singer. I'm talking about Dead or Alive. I absolutely love this band. And Pete was doing some weird and crazy stuff long before anybody else was. He was kind of a pioneer because Pete was in the punk bands back in the 70s, and kind of like your good friend and host, he kind of transitioned into dance music and put together this four-piece that was just amazing, absolutely amazing. And I'm going to turn you on today to some of my favorite tracks from Dead or Alive. Now, all of these are on the Greatest Hits album. And I think the mixes on the Greatest Hits album, for most of them, are the best mixes. And so hopefully Roy will pull those from the Greatest Hits album. But here are my top 10 Dead or Alive songs. I hope you're ready. Number 10, a great track called What I Want. Pretty cool little intro there, very danceable. Number 9 is In Too Deep. Another one that I don't know that maybe you've heard. It's a little bit deeper in the catalog, but a great track. And here's the thing too, like the best way to describe these guys, it's kind of like Depeche Mode on steroids, right? It's not like as heavy and stuff as like Front 242 or Lords of Acid. You know, bands like that, wasn't quite like that because there was some top 40 qualities to this, but the club versions of these songs were better than the radio edit. And this is one of them. Number 8, great track called Something in My House. Absolutely love this one. It's number 8 because I love some the rest of them more. Then number 7, a song that you may know. We don't typically do covers unless we do a full cover, right? But Pete actually released this as a solo track, and then it kind of got absorbed into Dead or Alive set list. It's the cover of the 1975 KC and the Sunshine Band classic, I Like It. Not the Dino version, the KC and the Sunshine Band version, right? That's the way, you know that song. So yeah, that was kind of a breakthrough hit into clubs. And so Dead or Alive too, like before they really got a lot of recognition album-wise, they would release a lot of these promotional type singles, right? They would just go cut like an 11-inch record or a 7-inch, and then they would give it to DJs who would then play it in clubs. Well, then everybody going to the club having a good time would call the radio station. And it's like, hey, I want to hear this song, right? Where to go buy this? And so that's how they built a following, was in the clubs of England. And the I Like It cover was one of those things, too, because of the fact it's a recognizable song. You're like, hey, well, what's the deal with this? And it's about 10 years later, I guess, when they released that. All right, number 6, Lover Come Back. It's a great track, too. I love the intro to it. Good vocal delivery here from Pete, too. Number 5, My Heart Goes Bang. This is another one. It sounds a little bit like some other stuff, like there's only so many notes in life you can play, right? And so there's some of this that sounds a little bit like number 2 and a little bit like number 1. You know, they really began to kind of refine their sound. They ended up kicking two of the guys out of the band, and it just kind of became a duo, right? And so that's kind of how dance music was. You don't need the full ensemble. A lot of people want to put on a big show, so you've got a lot of people on stage that aren't even really playing instruments. They're just kind of there to fill a space. But so much of dance music back then, and I'm sure it is today too, was sequenced. We used to have these samplers that we'd use. And like I told you guys, I think before, I had a guy named David. He never did any dates with us, but this incredibly talented guy from Hattiesburg. Like he could listen to a song and like pick out each layer. And so to be like, you know, 6 layers. It's like, hey, well, here's the bass line. Here's the horns, here's the strings. He could pick all that stuff out, and then he could replicate it himself. And so, like, and then you just, you know, add the drum beat. You know, we had a live drummer. But my point being is that so much of this, really, you don't need a full band. Like with Civello, we were 4-piece plus guys like me that danced, but me and Rick. But the reality of it is that you could almost pull this off pretty economically, right? Just have one person. One person play the music and the person who's singing. And so My Heart Goes Bang is part of that too. Okay, so the next 4 are songs that all charted. You may not realize that, but they did. because you're thinking, you know what number one is, and I'm sure you do. But the next four songs are songs that you probably know or you heard, you know, during the mid to late 80s as high energy dance music was a big deal. But it's I'll Save You All My Kisses. And it all starts, you know, with kiss, 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 kiss. And then it breaks into this great little dance beat. Number three, another MTV hit. I remember Downtown Julie Brown, who I love, had such a huge crush on her. I guess in some respects I still do. Yeah. Wubba, wubba, wubba. Love Downtown Julie Brown. You know, she did Club MTV too, which was dedicated to dance music. And she was a big Pete Burns fan. But Brand New Lover. I remember her playing that video on Club MTV saying, you know, and it was a lot of rumors that Pete Burns had like had a rib removed, you know, to make himself look thinner. And he kind of had this androgynous look. And he actually was on some celebrity, you know, plastic surgery failure show. I think they said over 300 plastic surgeries. He was a very vain individual. You know, and he said once he knew that he was going to be a visual person and be on TV, he wanted to look good. So every time he made money, he would get something else done. So there's a lot of rumors he had a rib removed. Maybe that's true. But Brand New Lover, it was a song that Downtown Julie Brown's like, hey, I heard that that's the case. And if as thin as he looks, maybe I should do the same. And Julie, no, you don't. You look perfect just as you are. All right. that was Brand New Lover, course number three. Number two, and I could make an argument that this is the best Dead or Alive song. Now, I can't put it number one because you guys would never respect that because of the fact there is an obvious number one, but the best version of this song, and there's about 10 of them out there, is on the Greatest Hits album. And if you download the video, which MTV refused to play, and it's a song called Come Home With Me, Baby. And this song would have been huge in the United States. But because of the fact that it kind of promoted promiscuity and in the middle of the AIDS epidemic, the record company felt it's irresponsible for us to push this as a single. And the lyrical content is probably, that was probably the right call. But that said, this is the danciest dance song I think there has ever been. I absolutely love this track. The album version, the album is called Nude, and that was another thing too. There was a lot of problems with that. Like Pete was really, really, really kind of pushing the envelope, and the record company at the time gave him a lot of pushback. And so Come Home With Me, Baby is a fan favorite because of the fact it likely did not get the airplay and certainly the video play that maybe it deserved because it was a very controversial song at a very difficult time in society. You know, from a health standpoint, there were a lot of people, of course, that you know, were inflicted with HIV and the AIDS epidemic. And so they were like, hey, you know, we can't go out here and look like we're promoting, you know, casual encounters in this song. But that understood, the instrumentation on this song is absolutely ridiculous. And on the album version, they don't have the guitar and the horns aren't quite as pronounced. But like in the intro, it comes in and it's like, take a trip you'll never forget. And of course, that's kind of like back to the old hallucinogenic days that in clubs, there was a lot of this stuff that was sequenced by DJs just kind of flowed together. And so it gave a great intro into this song because it was just a little bit different. But I like all the versions of it. The best version, the best two versions are the album version and then the Greatest Hits version. But I love it. Come Home With Me, Baby. Absolutely amazing track. If you ever want to see me on a dance floor, you put this song on. I have to get out there, right? For me, it's like for many of you, like when you hear, you know, Back That Thing Up from Juvenile, you have to go to get to the dance floor. This is me, right? When I hear this song, I got to go out there and jam a little bit. But number one, and you know what it is? It's You Spin Me Right Round, Baby, Right Round Like a Record. Great, great, great dance song. And one of the things that I loved about it, it was, while it got some top 40 airplay, there was enough credibility within the band and enough credibility within the musicianship that it wasn't just kind of passed off as a pop song. It was huge in the clubs. It still is. Everybody knows it. And I think it's a great track. And of course, with Flo Rida, kind of worked on this a while back. And then he was on, Pete was on some celebrity show. Maybe he was on Big Brother. I think he was on Big Brother. And so the song made a bit of a comeback. And then it was played in Stranger Things, and it made a comeback again. But You Spin Me Round, amazing, amazing, amazing track. And there was an initial greatest hits album called Rip It Up that was put out. But again, the best versions of it are, you know, on the greatest hits album that's called, let's see here. That's the Way I Like It, The Best of Dead or Alive. So there you go. And Pete died back in 16. And it's really kind of sad, too. It's like when you think about these people that, you know, were so incredibly talented, right? You think they're kind of immune from life's problems, you know. And it's like I've told you guys before, the Lane Staley death was one of the worst things ever, you know. It was kind of the same thing for Pete, though it wasn't really, you know, the drug-induced thing. But, you know, Pete was a guy, obviously very vain and really kind of lost his looks, was very disheveled and put on some weight there at the end and kind of died kind of a lonely person in many respects. But, yeah, it just goes to show you. I mean, you know, that this, you know, life is no respecter of persons, right? We're all going to get out of here at some point. We've got to make as many memories as we can and do as much good as we can before we punch a clock. So if you have ideas for the top 10 list, reach out, let us know. Best way to do that is to hit us up on social media. I'm on all forms of social at Scout Steve R. And Roy Samanti, the keeper and distributor of our great list, is Dogmatic67, DAWGMATIC67. You can follow him on Spotify, too, and our amazing list will auto-populate to your phone. And hit us up. Let us know when you have ideas. We got some kind of stacked up, but you never know. Your idea may be better than theirs, and we may do yours next. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. Man, I love Campus Bookmart. I spoke to Miss Kathy Brown today. How about that? Love Miss Kathy Brown. All excited about the new book coming out. And they'll be selling it there. We'll do some book signings there. Excited to be back around them. Every time I go in there, though, I have to be careful. Yeah, because I'm going to spend too much if I'm not. Because they have such good Mississippi State merchandise available for us to purchase. If you're looking for Mississippi State merchandise, look no further than Campus Bookmart. A lot of people make the claim that they had the best selection. They are pretenders to the throne. And here's the thing, too. The folks that run Campus Bookmart, they're Mississippi State people. They kind of rise and fall with us, right? It's a shared experience. And so it's good to always support a Starkville business, too. Rather than go to Amazon or eBay or something like that, or, you know, some other company that doesn't have a stake in Starkville, go with Campus Bookmart. It'll make you feel better, and it'll help a Starkville business. Even if you can't make it to town very often, you know as well as I do, you want Starkville to be a great place. So support a Starkville institution at Campus Bookmart. Now, if you can't make it to town, visit them on the World Wide Web at campusbookmart.net. And by being a loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays, and that is BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than $75, absolutely incomplete. All right, let's take a quick look back at the weekend. As you guys know, it was an interesting week. Wasn't so great for us, but, you know, it's so interesting. We talked about how, you know, sometimes Georgia and Kentucky is kind of a weird game. This one was weird, too, and I really expected Georgia to run away with it. And Kentucky, you know, give Stoops and those guys some credit. They get shelled by South Carolina. And I really thought Georgia would go in there and beat them down. Give Kentucky a lot of credit for getting up off the mat and giving the number one team in the country really all they wanted and then some. Kentucky just couldn't finish drives. Had they been able to finish drives, it may be a different conversation today. Kentucky had to kick four field goals in the game, and they lose 13-12. Georgia, the only touchdown of the game for either team, came in the fourth quarter, and they win 13-12. It's a 6-3 game at the break. Pretty crazy. So, again, give Kentucky a lot of credit, but give Georgia, again, the credit for once again surviving a weird game at Lexington. I don't know what it is about it up there. It's just a weird environment sometimes. There really is a home field advantage there, and it's not because it's especially loud. I really can't explain it, but everybody plays better at home. I think Kentucky probably doesn't get enough credit for how good they've been at home. And, you know, I'm not a big Kentucky fan, but it is a very weird deal when you go up there. I can't really explain it. Texas hammers UTSA. No surprise there. And again, Texas, probably the best team in the country, not named Georgia. You could probably make an argument that perhaps Texas, after this first couple of weeks, might be better than Georgia. I'm not ready to make that leap, but I can also recognize the fact that there's some people that may share that line of thinking. 56-7 winners over the Roadrunners. Arch Manning throws for 223 yards and four touchdowns and ran for another. Alabama goes up there, and Luke Fickell said it himself, if you never had your butt beat, it just happened. Alabama just absolutely engulfs the Badgers. We thought going to Camp Randall may be a bit of a challenge for the first half, but ultimately the athletes of Alabama would take over. Hey, they took over earlier than we expected, did so in the second quarter. It's a 21-3 game at the break, and then from there, it's all Jalen Milroe, who accounts for five touchdowns in the game. And then, of course, Wisconsin's quarterback Tyler Van Dyke goes down. Former Bulldog comes in. Yeah. Didn't work out well, though. 42-10 winners is Alabama. And again, I'm just still not sure how good they are. But even though it's not a great Wisconsin team, anytime that you go into a Power 5 team's backyard like that, or Power 4, whatever we're calling it these days, and you smack them like that, it gets your attention. Ole Miss, we felt like, hey, Ole Miss would overwhelm Wake Forest, and it could be a weird game early, but again, Ole Miss would win this game handily. This thing was over in the first quarter. Ole Miss with 20 points in the first quarter. They lead 20-3, and it's a 23-6 game at the break. The Ole Miss defense takes over in the second half and shuts them out. 40-6 winners. Jackson Dart with 377 yards, two touchdowns, and a pick. So good game, you know, for the Rebels. And again, this Wake Forest team is 1-2. They're not what they were under Jim Grobe. But again, you go play a Power 5 opponent on the road, it's a little bit dicey at times. But Ole Miss takes care of business. And as much as Bulldog fans don't want to admit it, this is a really good Ole Miss team. A lot of people are scared to admit that because they're worried about what's going to happen in the Egg Bowl. We'll play that game when it gets here. But it is perfectly appropriate, even for a Bulldog, to kind of give people credit when it's due. Wild game between Missouri and BC. I picked Boston College to cover and Missouri to win. That works out well for me. But, man, what a wild game it was. BC takes a 7-3 lead. Missouri battles back in the second quarter. It's a 17-14 game at the break, and then Missouri did just enough. They get that touchdown to get a little separation in the third quarter and then tack on a field goal late. BC with the fourth quarter touchdown to make it 27-21. This Boston College team, hard nose. Hard nose. About, you know, what you'd expect from the Northeast. You know, they're not exactly elite athleticism-wise, like from a speed standpoint, but they will beat you up. Speaking of getting beat up, Tennessee, 71-0 winners over Kent State. It's now 0-3. The Volunteers, as I have said since the summer, they are a trendy and sleepy pick for the playoff. And here's the thing, too. Like, you can't tell anything about this game. That said, this Tennessee offense is absolutely legit. A lot of people are kind of say, oh, you know, Georgia this, maybe Alabama. Tennessee didn't get any of those preseason headlines around the Southeastern Conference. They really didn't. A lot of people talking about Ole Miss, you know, and rightfully so. This Tennessee team got 37 points in the first quarter. I don't care if you're playing against air. That is difficult. And then 28 more. We were thinking they may get to 100. They call the dogs off. Hype always does. But 71-0. It's a 65-0 game at the break. Some people kind of a little upset too. Tennessee up 30-0 with an onside kick there. And I agree. That's probably a little bad sportsmanship there. You work that out in practice. We knew that Tulane may give Oklahoma a bit of a game. Turned out to be a little more of a game than maybe we thought. Now, Oklahoma gets out to a good start there, 7-0. And, of course, it's 21-6 at halftime. But Tulane battles back. John Summerall doing a good job there. He was a finalist for the Bulldog job, too. Touchdown and then a field goal for Oklahoma. Oklahoma hangs on to win here, 34-19. They 10 points kind of going out there in the fourth. But, yeah, it's a competitive game. Oklahoma was never really challenged here. But, you know, give Tulane a lot of credit. Kind of pedestrian numbers, too. Jackson Arnold with 169 yards passing, one touchdown, a pick. He also carried 14 times for 97 yards. So, You had them both together, a decent day, I guess, but not a great day. And again, don't sleep on Tulane in the AAC. I know that they're a 1-2 team. When they get in their league, don't be surprised if they're making some hay. Wild game from Columbia, South Carolina. Watch this one. And let's be honest about this. South Carolina should have won the game. They should have. And I'm not talking about the officiating. But South Carolina should have won this game. They get out early, you know. LSU kind of comes back, and it felt like LSU was, even though they were given every opportunity to kind of climb back in it, they gave it back. Like that big pick in the end zone. I know it was returned for a pick six, and some people have complained about the blindside block on Garrett Nussmeier, right? They said, well, he only shoved him. It doesn't matter if it's a shove or a shoulder or a decleater. The blindside block is a blindside block. That was the right call. I know people, well, Steve, we're taking all the physicality out of football. We're really not, even though I think some of these targeting calls are ridiculous. We'll get that in a second. But, you know, LSU, give them credit, you know, could have quit. They didn't quit. South Carolina has a chance there late to kick a game-time field goal. I needed that to go to overtime so LSU could cover. It didn't work out. So LSU, which looks to be very vulnerable this year, and that's the thing we think about too. Granted, we're not having a great team, okay? But two things can be true. We make this schedule rotation like, hey, we're getting away from Alabama. LSU looks vulnerable. Kentucky looks vulnerable. Auburn looks vulnerable. Sometimes be careful what you wish for, right? South Carolina now 2-1. LSU 2-1 on the season as well. Pick up their first SEC win. Texas A&M. Am I going to go ahead and say I told you so? Yes, I am. I told you guys back in the summer that Florida would likely be 1-2 coming to Starkville. Now, we haven't done our part, but Florida kind of is who we thought they were. A lot of people thought Billy Napier would be fired today. He wasn't, but it's pretty crazy, you know. It's pretty crazy what's happening in Gainesville. And, you know, the big question is, you know, when is it going to happen? And people say, well, if Mississippi State wins this week, they'll fire him. I don't think they fire anybody four games in. Yeah, but you got to try to salvage something. You know, Mike Namath, of course, you know, works for us over at Gene's Page. And Mike has the administrative type experience that I enjoy kind of picking his brain about. And he goes, you know, you got to think about the rest of the year. And it's like, hey, if they lose to Mississippi State, you know, the swamp will be half filled. Well, then that's half as many drinks getting purchased. That's half as many people coming and buying merchandise. You know, you got to think about that. You think about how things went last year. You know, we'd like, hey, we'll let Arnett finish the year. Well, nobody was going to be at those last two games, right? And so instead you fire Arnett, and what do you know? Huge, huge crowd against Southern Miss, and then a good crowd against Ole Miss. You know, and had we not fired Arnett, there may have been 15,000 people there for that Southern Miss game. But A&M, I'm not sure how good they are, but it's crazy to think about how well they run the football, which is not a great thing for us. But they get up 20-0 in this game. Is that right? That didn't feel right, but it was 20-0. And then Florida kind of makes it a game a little bit there in the third quarter, but it's a 33-20 final. And I don't think anybody walked away from that game thinking, hey, you know, Florida's about ready to turn a corner. They're figuring some things out. Of course, they got the Lagway and the Mertz quarterback situation. They're trying to use both of them. It's just not going to work. Arkansas got all they wanted and then some from UAB. Guys, it was 20-20 at the break. And then Arkansas gets a little separation there in the second half, and they hang on to win 37-27. And there was so much talk about this Arkansas offense the first 3 weeks. You get the best coaches in the country breaking down film, and UAB, a team that doesn't have SEC talent, takes this game to the fourth quarter. Yeah, down a touchdown in Fayetteville. That offense scored late to kind of put this thing away, but not quite as proficient as they have been. And so that's something to continue to watch. Vanderbilt, we knew it couldn't last. I trusted you. You guys let me down. I knew Georgia State at home would be a little bit tougher, but I still thought Vanderbilt could pull it off. And give them credit, they get down and they rally late. It's a 12-10 game at the break, and then Georgia State, you know, takes a 12-point lead Yeah, 12-point lead there in the third quarter. So they're up two scores going to the fourth. Vanderbilt with a 22-point fourth quarter, but just could not get enough stops to win. They lose 36-32. New Mexico actually covered the spread. Auburn scored at will for the most part. We thought they would. And it's going to be interesting to see what they do quarterback-wise the rest of the way. You know, 45-19 winners. But that Auburn defense, you know, gives up 10 first quarter points. They made some adjustments, kind of got it figured out. But so 2-1 for Auburn. And again, maybe the new quarterback situation will be better. You know, maybe. You know, the Peyton Thorne experiment just hasn't worked. You know, they bring Hank Brown in. He goes 17-25 for four touchdowns. That's more of what they want. And that's the thing. I think Hank Brown is a little bit more than a game manager. If you go back and watch those clips, the kid has some arm talent. I mean, he's not, you know, he's not Tom Brady or anything like that. But I think he adds a dimension that maybe they didn't have before. Let's take a quick peek ahead and just kind of see what's coming up. And then we're going to move forward here. Of course, Florida-Mississippi State, 11 a.m. on Saturday. We hope that you'll make it. Tickets will be very affordable. Ohio at Kentucky, there at Kroger Field. The Bobcats actually 2-1. Might be a game, but you know it's a weird place to play. Arkansas and Auburn in Jordan-Hare. Two teams with two elite play callers. Yeah, sign me up. It's a 2:30 game, you know. Maybe we can get on done and get on Gaff tailgate and watch that. All right, UCLA is at LSU. I don't think UCLA has a chance, but again, this LSU team is still ranked 16th. But do you believe that LSU is the 16th best team in the country after what you've seen in 3 weeks? I don't think I do. Vanderbilt will visit Missouri, which has become a very difficult place to be. Missouri's just kind of right there hanging out. You know, 3-0, just kind of moving along. Stacking up wins, ranked 7th in the country. Tennessee up to 6th now. Tennessee and Oklahoma in Norman. And, don't forget Josh Heupel, a former Sooner quarterback himself, a Sooner great. He will have this team up to play. I don't think Oklahoma is going to be able to score with that same proficiency, but we'll talk about that later in the week. Bowling Green goes to Texas A&M. Well, you know, A&M gets kind of hanging around there at 25th in the country. That won't change this week with Bowling Green coming in. But, hey, the way the MAC has played this year, you know, maybe A&M should be on episode alert. The Fighting Joe Moorheads of Akron, the Zips, will be at Williams-Brice Stadium to take on South Carolina. You know, Akron picked up a win here recently, 1-2 on the year. But, Williams-Brice is a tough place to play. Got to feel good about South Carolina. Georgia Southern will head to Vaught-Hemingway Stadium. Would love for Georgia Southern to make this a game. You just don't see it, though. I mean, I don't. Maybe you guys do. I don't see it. I think Ole Miss wins this game comfortably. But Louisiana Monroe's at Texas. Guys, we have a chance to see some huge blowouts this week. I mean, there's a handful of games that are going to be interesting. But even some of the SEC games you look at and say, you know what, the margin in these games is going to get away from people. But, I mean, UM Monroe's 2-0. Guys, they have no chance. No chance against Texas. None. Tennessee and Oklahoma could be fun, right? But I start looking through this stuff and I start thinking, you know, I think we're going to see like some week one quality scores in week four. I hope that that didn't happen in Starkville. But there is the potential to see some pretty gaudy point margins this week. Hey, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. If you're bringing a large group to Starkville, and you should, we don't get together enough. You guys could bring your big group in, invite me over for steaks or something. But here's the reality of it, is we don't get together enough, whether it be with our friends or our family. And I don't just mean the friends down the street. I mean like your friends from college, your friends from high school. I mean your friends from work or whatever. You know, there's just sometimes it'd be great to get everybody under one roof and just have a weekend together. How great would that be? It'd be incredible. So why don't you do it? Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse. And when you do, their Facebook page will auto-populate. You can look through the pictures and peruse all the amenities that are available to you at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, you'll be glad you did. You'll see that full-service kitchen, the wet bar. You'll have that fire pit outside, that expansive back porch area, which is fabulous. So much room to kind of stretch out and have a good time. 5 bedrooms, a couple of baths. You know, you can go by and stock up all the groceries and just hang out all week and enjoy being together. And we got an open day coming up too. So you know, maybe you're kind of in the habit of kind of getting out and going and say, you know, hey, why don't we go to Starkville and kind of enjoy Starkville when it's not a game day? Have a chance to get out and go to our favorite restaurants and our favorite shops, do a little advanced Christmas shopping. And guys, we're just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. You can do all your tailgating right there. You don't have to worry about packing everything up twice. You got to pack it up, go set it up, tear it back down, bring it back. Guys, you get that full service kitchen right there. You can just, everybody can pitch in and do it all right there. It'll make kind of going back and forth to game day a lot easier to deal with. Now, when you Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, some booking options are going to come up. You're going to have the Airbnb, VRBO, but if you want to save some money, I can help you with that. Book through the Evolve website. Promo code BSR10, the number 10, BSR10, gets you 10% off your stay at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. How cool is that? Just by listening to this show, we're telling you about a cool place and a great place for you to go hang out and have a good time at a discount. The Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle area. Okay, let's talk a little recruiting before we get out of here. We had some good stuff happen yesterday. We needed something good to happen in Mississippi State land, for sure. We absolutely needed some good things to happen. The first thing that happened is Demarius Yates, a 2026 running back from Kemper County, committed to Mississippi State prior to the game and kind of hung in there with us. Yeah, it's been a good thing, right? What's also interesting, too, not only, you know, State has the best two running backs in the state of Mississippi committed for the 2026 class. And they're both in-state kids. In-state kids typically stick. And some people are like, you know, it's so long from that. Can you calm down? Okay, can you stop being a Debbie Downer all the time? Right? These recruits think, hey, I can go in there and play. You know, it's important to understand that. Absolutely important for people to understand. You know, the recruits are actually a little more level-headed than the adults because they don't have the emotional investment yet, right? It's like, hey, I'm going to go here and look. This is the best field of study for me. I like the coach. I like the scheme. I think it's a great place. It's close to home. I can go get my education. It's something we should celebrate. When somebody chooses our university, gives us an endorsement of who we are and what we're about and say, hey, I want to be part of that family. And then we got people to go on Facebook and just kind of crap all over it. So stupid. But yeah, it's a big commitment for sure. And also on the basketball front, how about Chris Jantz? You talk about a guy that's you know, having a good offseason. It's Chris Jantz. Picks up a commitment from top 50 recruit, senior King Grace. Announced his decision on 247 Sports Network. How great was that? And big stuff, you know, an elite guard for sure. And then we've had some other official visitors that have been on campus, and we're excited about that. You know, so again, the program right now, you know, you think about the winter sports, you know, I think when you look at what Chris Jantz is doing, what he did in the portal and kind of what he's doing on the recruiting trail now, I think you feel like, you know, hey, we're kind of in solid strides right now. The Yates thing, too, is big, too, because of Mario Nash. Like, there was a report last week that, you know, that my counterpart on the Ole Miss side felt like after his game day visit up there that they were in good standing. And Mario Nash Jr. comes out today and reassures that, yeah, he's staying with State. And you can read that. It's a VIP story over at jeanspage.com, the 247 Sports affiliate. Yeah, we kind of stay on top of things, too. But, you know, Yates and Nash are really close. I'm actually going to go see them Friday night. If they're playing that equipment. And so that's the plan. I'm going to shoot down there, get some pictures, and hopefully some video of those, all of those guys. You know, Keegan Deere's down there, too. You know, one of the best running backs in the country. So we'll get some fresh pictures, some video of those guys, and we'll have that up for you at some point in the weekend. But I like to get out and go. And see the future players. When we take the road trips, you know, to Texas and Georgia and Tennessee, I'm going to go see some players on the way too. You know, Friday night, I got to sleep somewhere, right? And so I'm going to go check those guys out, and we'll have a good time. you know, we'll get out and kind of enjoy the opportunity to go, you know, get some exclusive footage and images and perhaps some quotes for you guys to enjoy. Because you want to know what these guys look like. I mean, you don't have to just take everybody's word for it. See for yourself. Now, I think that the Bulldog football recruiting momentum, I think, is going to continue. And, you know, we've talked a little bit about Tyler Lockhart. I went and saw Tyler on Friday night. I absolutely love his game. I did last year. He doesn't have as much help around him this year. They're a lot smaller on defense. Of course, they kind of reached the end of a talent cycle. Had a very talented senior class last year. Of course, State signed a couple of those guys, T.J. Lockhart. And in fact, Clark, and I understand he's taken his father's name, Forrester. I think that's right, Fred Forrester. And so all that understood, you know, Lockhart still stands out, but he doesn't have as many people out there on defense to kind of keep him honest. When he had Fat Clark out there, it kind of made it easier, right, because you could play a better team defense. A lot of times when Lockhart gets out there, they kind of run away from him. They're trying to avoid him. He is an impact player. I still expect him to be a Bulldog. A lot of discussion about he will announce here in the coming days. It's something we've been waiting on forever. And I remember around this time last year, I went and watched this kid play against Grenada. And I walked away and I thought, you know what? This kid is probably the best defensive player in the state of Mississippi. A year later, that has been validated. He is absolutely the best defensive player in Mississippi for this class. And State needs some good things to happen on the recruiting trail, especially on the defensive side. Now, a couple guys in at EMCC that State is on, Zay Hardy, defensive lineman. Right now, it feels like it's between us and South Carolina, but he is still going to take some visits. There's some other schools out there still kind of chasing him. He has spent a lot of time talking to David Turner. He has, of course, A'shaun Shepherd and others that are here that can kind of explain what the experience is like. And then, of course, the safety, Tony Mitchell. That feels like a State Ole Miss thing right now. It's not to say that other people won't offer. But one of the things that I hear from sources close to Tony Mitchell is that you know, they really don't want him going into some big-time party-type atmosphere, right? They don't want him going, you know, maybe going to Georgia Tech, right, going to Atlanta or something like that. You know, I understand that they want him, he's a kid from Alabaster, Alabama, want him to have the opportunity to kind of come in here and focus on football and focus on school. And he is a one-and-done type guy. No matter where he goes, he is going to be a guy that will likely come in and play at a high level and then declare for the draft after his junior year. He is that talented. Stayed very much in the mix there. I'm just going to tell you, kind of hang in there with us and just kind of see how things progress there. But I get the sense, because of the fact that I know some people that have been with him a long time, that this is going to be one of those things where Mississippi State is going to be absolutely in it. You know, absolutely going to be in it. And I think a lot of this, too, kind of boils down to that, you know, Starkville is for some people, right? And it may be for you, and it may not be for others. But you know, the pace of life around Stark was just a little bit different. And this is a guy that lived in Baton Rouge for 16 years talking, you know. I remember times having to get up and take my girls to school or whatever, you know, and it'd take an hour to get across town and back to get them to school. And being here is so much better, right? And there are a lot of people that just kind of like the way we live out here, right? Now, I mean, I'm so many recruits over the years that said, I just love Starkville. You know, I love the fact that it's all about Mississippi State. Everybody packs up and comes to the ball games, right? And so Mississippi State may be an acquired taste for some, but for the rest of us, it's heaven. And so I think that's going to factor with Tony Mitchell. I really do. I don't think that you see him, you know, go off somewhere where there's going to be a lot of distractions. I really don't. I think in the end, it's probably a Mississippi State Ole Miss thing, unless something crazy happens late. But I like where Mississippi State stands right now. And so I think this is a situation, too, where we probably got some good things about to happen. I think everybody's kind of hang in here. I'm just going to encourage you guys to have patience, right? Have some patience. As I mentioned earlier, we've had a tremendous amount of attrition on this roster. And there's been so many things that have happened. And unfortunately, Jeff Lebby's having to pick up a tab on that, right? It's not really a reflection. I don't know how you can even truly evaluate this staff based on where we are right now. Now, there's some things out there, obviously, we can correct. And when I went through my positional breakdown, we didn't really talk about the secondary. I think part of that's because those guys are playing pretty well. But there's some things coaching-wise we got to do different, you know, simple as that. But you cannot win the Kentucky Derby with a mule. You can't. It doesn't matter how much you coach him. Doesn't matter how much film you show him. You know, that mule's just not going to have the physical ability to keep up with a thoroughbred. It's as simple as that. We've got to upgrade our talent level. It's because all of these turnovers with staff and, you know, with the portal and things like that. I mean, when Darcell McBath, almost all of his guys went and got in the portal, so we've had to kind of rebuild the corner room. There's just a lot to all this. And, you know, I want to win as much as you guys do, and probably more than most. You know, it impacts our business. You know, people don't listen to the show. People don't buy the books. People don't subscribe to their website. You know, we got a vested interest in Mississippi State being successful. And so I think it's important for everybody to understand that, you know, we are all in this thing together. And, you know, I think about, too, like everything in Starkville is impacted. Like when football is not good, let's say 10,000 people decide to stay home that normally come. Well, that, you know, that's 10,000 people that aren't getting a hotel room or eating at a local restaurant or going by the campus bookmark buying shirts. And all of a sudden you get the cumulative effect of that over the course of a season. You start getting diminishing returns, you start getting smaller crowds, and then, you know, people are like, I don't know if I want to go spend money on a Mississippi State shirt right now. And so I think it's important that we all just kind of band together right now. We're all feeling it, right? I'm not going to sit here and tell you it's going to be okay this year, because I don't believe that. But I know that it's going to be okay eventually. And I still trust Jeff Lebby and his staff to do a great job for us. And I think he has handled this adversity well publicly. And I can tell you that people have told me the staff itself is not – they're disappointed and frustrated, but they have not lost their confidence. And they're going to continue to prepare and get your team ready to go play a football game on Saturday. Hey, if you hadn't done so, go to DutyNobleBook.com. You can pre-order the new book, The Dude, The Life and Times of Duty Noble. All my sports titles are there along with my memoir, When the Bottom Falls. Might be an interesting read for you too, right? A lot of readers out there looking for something cool that's nonfiction. And that's the case there. And I hope you guys check it out. And again, come float with us at True Rest of Starkville, 662-268-7601. Is that right? Did I get that right? Yeah. But nevertheless, you can find us on social media. And of course, download the True Rest app. You can book online. And again, we had a great weekend. We've had some busy, very busy weeks. This weekend was the best. It was busy all day, every day. Had little availability at times, but we had people floating at every slot. And so come be a part of that, and certainly join us over at jeanspage.com. Hey, you guys have a great week. I apologize for the lateness of the show. We had a lot of things going on today. Some things I had to handle, some business stuff kind of took me away from the site and delayed me doing the show. And so here we are. I mean, that's life and times in the big city. But the show is up, and I hope you guys enjoy it. But until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.